Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Life Inspiration and Transformation with Mar. Today, I welcome guest Lauren L., who's going to discuss her journey with epilepsy, and not only share her journey, but also open up a conversation that maybe some of you may be holding back, maybe afraid to share, maybe have can relate to. And so today's episode was designed not only to inspire you, but also to support your opportunity to have these discussions that so often can be withheld for a variety of reasons. So Lauren, welcome to the call. Oh, let's see if we can hear you. Hello, Lauren. Let me see one second here. Oh, hello.
Hi, Mar.
Oh, there we are. Great. I can hear you perfectly. Excellent. How are you?
Okay, great. Great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for joining me on today's show.
Thanks for having me on the line.
Excellent. So, yes, I just don't know if you've heard what I just shared, but basically I just allowed or informed everybody that today's topic, we're going to be talking about your journey with epilepsy. And not only did we want to inspire others, maybe who can relate to a similar story or things that you've gone through, but also part of what our intention or hope is with this show is that more conversations will open up and people will feel more comfortable about, you know, sharing and discussing. And even I think you had to mention this to me, which I'll talk about in a little bit, but even discovering that there's even an issue, because I think that, well, you'll share, sometimes people can even withhold that information. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your story, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay, great. So I'm born and raised in Southern California. I had a stable childhood, grew up with my parents at the same home in Southern California. And so my story with epilepsy started when I was 21 years old. I had gone to a music festival and I had gotten home really late, like around 4 o'clock in the morning. And so I got up the next day and I had an obligation to go back to this music festival. I was covering it as a journalist, and I was just so exhausted from getting back early. I called my editor to let her know I wasn't going to be able to make it. And while I was holding my phone talking to her, I kept repeatedly dropping the phone while I was talking. And I wasn't doing it voluntarily. It was like my hand kept having a spasm and just dropping the phone. And I became very scared. I didn't know what exactly it was. But I just said, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. That's why my body's reacting this way. As time went on, however, months and even years after that, I continued to have spasms, petite mal seizures, they're called. And it would happen mostly when I would wake up in the morning and I would be tired to get ready for work. And sometimes I'd be brushing my teeth and my arm would just suddenly jut out. There was a couple times where my legs gave out beneath me when I was in the bathroom standing up. And I just kept telling myself over and over that this is because of being tired. This is because I'm exhausted. I just need to sleep better. That's all it is. And again, I was 21 at this time, and before this all came around, I was completely healthy, had never had any problems. This was the first time I'd ever had any problems like this. And I never told my parents because I just kept telling myself, I'll just sleep better, I'll just try to take care of myself better. But these petite mal seizures kept happening. And so what happened when it escalated was I was going to university in Los Angeles. It was my first day of school. It was in the morning, and I woke up, and I was having these petite mal seizures again. I was dropping things. My knees were giving out, and I was just so dedicated to go to school because You know, I was really excited about my first day at university. On top of that, you know, you have to be at class on the first day or else a lot of professors will drop you. So it just didn't even cross my mind to sit back and relax because I said, I have to get to school. I have to be in class. And so my ex-boyfriend at the time, he had started walking me to school. And before I know it, I am waking up in the hospital and I'm totally confused. My boyfriend at the time was in the room with me, and so he had to tell me what had happened, and I had actually had a grand mal seizure where I had collapsed, and I had to be taken to the hospital in an ambulance. And this was my first time having a grand mal seizure. It was my first time ever being in an emergency room or ever even having to speak to a doctor. And so after this happened, again, I kind of went into the same thing as when I had the petite mal seizures. I said, oh, well, that only happened one time. I said, that's it. That's only one time. I'll get better after this. But I actually had a number of grand mal seizures, probably over a period of 3 years after that. And so I went into this mode of tracking my symptoms, what was going to cause a seizure to happen, how can I protect myself from having a seizure. And it took me a number of years until finally I saw a doctor because I didn't have health insurance up until that time, was totally unaware of health insurance. And it took me a while to finally admit that I need help, that I need to see a professional. And so that's what led me to see a doctor up until that point in my life for seizures.
Thank you. And just for those of you that may not be fully, let's say, informed or have a history of epilepsy, most people would think that epilepsy starts at a young age, right? Isn't that usually diagnosed? Usually, is it common for epilepsy to start younger, or is it quite common for it to appear later in life for others as well?
From what I've read, it really depends. I mean, there are children who are born with epilepsy from the very beginning who have seizures, babies mm-hmm. that have seizures, and, you know, they have to go through their or help with that. But I've also read that seizures can happen at any time in someone's life, whether it's at 21 years old, 30, 40, it can happen anytime.
Right. So that's what's important to note, because I think some people assume, oh, this is something. And is this something that is in, they say it may occur as a result of a genetic disorder, but not necessarily. It doesn't have to be something that runs in the family. They have never been in your family. Like, is anyone in your family, for example, have they had epilepsy, any history of epilepsy in your family?
You know, I spoke with my mom about that, and I have a second cousin, so it was a cousin to my mom, my mom's cousin, whom I had mm-hmm. never met in my life or knew much about. He apparently had epilepsy, and he had seizures, and so that was in my bloodline, this particular person, and he actually had passed away because he had a seizure while he was in the shower, and he hit his head on the faucet, and so he died at a pretty young age, but that's the only person that I know of who has epilepsy in my family line. So it can be a genetic thing, but for a lot of people, I think it just kind of pops up. I never saw a doctor to pursue what was causing it, because when I did go see the doctor, you know, at that point in my life, I just wanted to stop the seizures. And then I asked, what can I do to figure out more of what's causing the seizures? And the doctor said, my goal is to make your seizures stop, not to figure out what's causing the seizures. And so at that point, I, you know, I don't have a lot of money to allocate to finding the cause. So I just went along with what he said. And so I've never figured out what has possibly led to my seizures from starting at that point in my life. Right now, mm-hmm. I'm under control, thankfully. The doctor did prescribe me medication that is considered to be normal, typical medication for epilepsy patients. And fortunately, it worked for me, and it's considered the kind of light medication. Some people, continuously need to upgrade their medication depending on what works for them, change their medications. I was fairly fortunate to actually have a positive response from the first medication I was prescribed. But again, I never figured out what was causing the seizures. I haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's a neurological condition. And I actually looked up a little bit of info, some stats, which I find it's more common than people think, actually. 65 million people around the world have epilepsy. 65 million. That's a lot of people. 3 million people
in the
U.S. have
epilepsy. It is a lot of people. And I actually regularly talk to people who say, I have a friend who has epilepsy. I have a relative who has epilepsy. Even in my family, I have an aunt who's not related to me by blood. She married my uncle. She has a sister who had epilepsy in the 70s when she was young. So that person's not in my family line, not related to me by blood, but they are in my family. And she actually had to go through her medication in the 70s wasn't effective for her. So she actually had brain surgery done to try to end her seizures. And fortunately, it worked for her, and she's still living to this day. But even another relative of mine had epilepsy.
Wow. And and it says 3 million people in the U.S. So 65 million people around the world, 3 million in the U.S. 1 in 26 people in the U.S. will develop epilepsy at some point in their life, between 4 and 10 out of 1,000. And I'm getting this from epilepsy.com, by the way. And there's about 150,000 number of new cases each year in the U.S. And then number of people with epilepsy who live with uncontrollable seizures is about one-third. And 6 out of 10 is the number of people with epilepsy where the cause is unknown. So that's very interesting. But they also talk about some triggers. Let's see what it says here. Triggers of type they have. So there's different types of seizures, I guess. Right?
There's a lot of different kinds of seizures. I think I read there's over 50 types of seizures.
Oh, wow. Right. And look, and here, and this might be interesting, and it'll be a thread to look through, and I'm so happy you brought up this topic of conversation, because while I completely understand doctors' points of views in terms of, look, let's treat it and not worry so much about what's causing it, at the end of the day, investigating, even if obviously when you're in an emergency situation, you want to treat the situation, you want to spend time investigating it, you want to actually deal with what's happening in front of you and take care of that to make sure that the person who's experiencing the seizure is brought to homeostasis and balance and all of that. So that's without a question. But at the same time, I think it is important for people to research and find out what is causing all of this. And I guess they talk about triggers, and there's a variety of different ones where they talk about missed medicines, lack of sleep, stress, alcohol, drug abuse, menstruation, photosensitivity. There's other triggers, nutritional deficiency. There's tons. So I guess it's all, relevant and dependent on every person's case over time and what's going on. But I find that very, very, this is such an important topic because I don't feel it's often talked about. I don't see and hear many people having conversations about this. Has that been your experience too, Lauren?
Yeah, it's pretty unfortunate. I had no idea what epilepsy was when I started having the symptoms. I had never personally seen a person have seizures before. I didn't even know the term epilepsy. And so when my symptoms began, I had no idea what it was. And I just kept telling myself, it's okay. You'll somehow figure out a way to get past it. And I also had no concept of telling my parents about it or telling someone about it. And this is something I try to get across to people is, if you experience something physical like that, where your arm is just suddenly doing something that you didn't tell it to do, that means that something's going on, that you should investigate it. And so I wish that I had told my parents early on because I could have probably prevented having the grand mal seizure, which is collapsing. I could have prevented that if I had gone to my parents and I had sought help when I was having the small petite mal seizures, which are the short seizures. And so I eventually developed the grand mal seizures that were happening. I had my first seizure, grand mal seizure, and then the next grand mal seizure happened a year and a half later. And then they started getting closer and closer to each other. After the second seizure, mm-hmm. I had another one 6 months later. Then I had another one about 4 months later. So they were beginning to happen more frequently. And that was when I finally got the message and said, I have to see a doctor. I have to deal with this. And so I had it dealt with, and thankfully I was able to get it solved. And, yeah, as you pointed out, approximately one-third people, they'll take medication, but it still doesn't solve the problem. They'll still continue seizures. So I'm very thankful that the medication I tried was effective for me. But even after mm-hmm. I had the medication and my seizures began to go away, I started to feel the effects of anxiety because it's not like the seizures stop and everything goes back to normal. I was actually in a state of trying to prevent seizures. And so after my seizures had stopped, I actually was kind of in this this mode of trying to prevent seizures. And my symptoms that you pointed out, there's triggers. My triggers were waking up early, and I did one time have alcohol intervene, but primarily for me it was waking up early. So this became kind of a issue in my life. Even to this day, I kind of have a fear of waking up early. If I have to catch an air flight, if I have to go to a meeting or something like that, I have a fear of waking up early.
Like early,
so that's kind of
like
the aftermath
4 or 5 in the morning?
Of seizures.
Right.
Waking up at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been
a gradual process for me to get used to being able to wake up early again because I've been seizure free now for about 3 years, which is really great. And it's just been back to, you know, getting used to being able to wake up again, to be comfortable in the morning, to not worry if I have to be out a little bit late. Those were impacts that happened in my life because of seizures.
What advice would you give those at any age who are going through seizures or experiencing this? What advice, like what are some things? I know one of them you had mentioned is you wish you would have told your parents. What are some other things you feel or you wish that someone had told you?
Well, I encourage people to just be aware of their body. If something happens that you're really not familiar with, just take note of it and start taking symptoms, start noticing when it happens, what happens, to try to tell the people around you that support you, if it's your parents or your partner. I also recommend to be aware of health insurance, to just have knowledge about it and try to have it, because that was one of the reasons why I didn't see a doctor so fast, was because I was completely unaware of health insurance. I had never even talked about it with my parents. So when my seizures kicked in, it was the first time I ever had to learn about health insurance and how the process works to see a doctor. I didn't learn about it in school. That was a challenge. And then on top of that, I recommend to just be supportive. Try to have a support group. One thing that I've found to be very helpful for me is to be a part of epilepsy groups on Facebook and to just have connections with people who are experienced with this, because, you know, it's really insightful to hear their experiences, how they've managed to cope with life. After I saw a doctor and started taking medication, I thought life was going to go back to normal for me. I thought that, you know, I'm going to just work and everything's going to be normal. But as I said, I kind of went through this state of anxiety and I was scared to wake up early. And I felt alone because I didn't reach out to any groups The nurses didn't recommend anything to me to try to connect with people. And so now I think back and I wish I had just been a part of a support group who could have kind of put me at ease and say, you know, what you're experiencing is normal. It's okay to feel scared sometimes because you're still in that state of preventing a seizure from happening.
Thank you for that. Yes, I imagine with all that one would go through and is experiencing, especially because, like you had mentioned in your case, you know, there had been no health issues in the past, nothing going on, you know, there was like no warning sign. It just, all of a sudden it began happening. And to go through something like that alone and try to figure things out on your own, it's not easy. It's quite difficult. And to have the support of others, to learn, to hear, to share what others are going through, to support one another through all of that, even to give each other tips and ideas about different ways to support one another, I think is wonderful. And that's great that you had mentioned Facebook as a way. So you can do a search on Facebook to look for different epilepsy groups. Is there one in particular you like on there?
There's a group called End Epilepsy that's based out of Los Angeles, and they will occasionally post stories on their Facebook page of people of different ages who have epilepsy, everything from babies to children to young children in school to people my age in their 20s, 30s, all the way up to older people. And so it's really interesting to see stories and to read their experiences. That's one of my favorite groups to stay up to date with on this.
Great. So End Epilepsy. And are there any organizations on the web that you usually refer to that you would recommend for anybody?
The primary one that I know of right now, I know that there's a number of websites that offer basic tips and general tips. I haven't had to look into it so much because thankfully my seizures have come to an end and I've been fortunate in that situation. But I think if you contact End Epilepsy, they will have endless sources and endless connections to help people of all ages, help parents. And they're also cool because they do a march in Los Angeles to bring awareness to epilepsy.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's actually a very active organization that's trying to bring awareness to epilepsy, and they've had celebrity support. So they're actually probably my favorite organization that I know of in relation to epilepsy.
Great. That's wonderful. Thank you. Well, is there anything else you wanted to share?
That's it for now. I just want to say, you know, always keep your hopes up. It can be pretty difficult at times to deal with a health problem like that that just pops up out of nowhere. But I also encourage to just speak out, share with people about your experiences, because as you said, you've never heard much about epilepsy. I had never heard much about epilepsy, but I think that the more people begin to speak about their health experiences, the more that
right.
we bond together, the more we know how to help everyone around us.
Yes, I agree 100%. And I really appreciate you taking the time to share your story to really raise awareness about this topic and to provide your insights on not only what you went through, but what you wish you would have done and tips for everyone and the support system. I think it's so important for all of us to be more aware and to support one another. And and thank you very, very much, Lauren. I really, really appreciate you taking the time and for sharing with us.
Oh, thank you for giving me the chance to speak about it.
Yes, absolutely. My pleasure. All right. Take care. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Life, Inspiration, and Transformation with Mar. We look forward to having you next time. Bye-bye.